I'd like you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me to the New Testament book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3, and we'll begin reading in just a moment with verse 13. How far can we go with God? Or how far, if you turn the thing around the other way, how far can God go with us? Paul is a prisoner, as we read these words. But he is strengthened and encouraged, even though he's in prison. And the secret to all of that is found in this passage of Scripture. In Ephesians chapter 3, the Bible says, beginning with verse 13, "Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." If you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, I want you to mark this expression, if you would, please. It's found in verse 16. "To be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man." In the inner man. You have an inner man. An inner man. Hold your place there just for a moment, would you please, and turn with me to what Paul wrote the church in Corinth. And if you have your Bible open to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the most difficult verse in the Bible is given to us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 15. "For all things are for your sakes." That's a lot to take in, isn't it? "For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Rather strange statement, isn't it? Look at it again, please. "While we look not at the things which are seen," we're not to be overcome by the obvious, the things that appear to the natural eye. When God talks about vision, he's not talking about the kind of vision you and I have as we go to an eye doctor and examines our eyes and say you have good vision. You could have the best vision in the world as far as bodily function is concerned and have the poorest vision imaginable as a Christian. But God says don't look at the things which are seen. Look not at the things which are seen. And then, but at the things which are not seen. It's at the things that are not seen. Finding those things which are not seen is what will strengthen us in the inner man. We're all such emotional beings, all of us. Some express that more than others. But the Lord wants us to be strong. He gives these words to his children. Can you imagine when something happens to you that God wants you not to look at what happens to you, but see what happens to you has a purpose, has a reason behind it? is God's purpose and meaning. He's working through it in a marvelous way to help us. Notice this expression in verse 16, the inner man is renewed day by day. The inner man. It's no secret. I think even those of you who are young understand it's no secret that these bodies of ours are decaying instruments. The Word of God even says that if our body, this body, be dissolved. In other words, someday it's going to go back to dust. No doubt about it. Let me take you to another passage with this in mind. If you turn with me, please, back to the Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 4, recently I gave you this verse, and I want you to think about it and meditate upon it. In Proverbs chapter 4, the Bible says in verse 18, a great verse for memory, by the way, but the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. It shines more and more unto the perfect day. The life of a Christian is not descending. Remember that? The life of a Christian is not descending. The life of a Christian is ascending. It's going up. It's an ascending life. And we must discover the secret to that ascending life. The Word of God says in the book of Ephesians that we're already seated in heavenly places with the Lord Jesus Christ. What a mystery. He's there and we're seated there with Him. Think of that. We're already there, just as certain of heaven as if we were already gone from this world, seated with God in heaven. Seated with Him. And so it's ascending. The whole idea is that the Christian life becomes better and better, brighter and brighter, stronger and stronger. For years, Christian people think, that I go from defeat to victory, from defeat to victory, from defeat to victory. That's not it at all. That's not what God intends at all. Our life is to ascend, to go from one victory to another victory. Look once again with me, please, to the Psalms. And I want you to think with me just for a moment what God says. I want to leave this verse upon your heart. In Psalm 84, I want you to mark this connection. I'd like to read the entire psalm, but for time's sake, let me just read the seventh verse. Well, let me read verses 5, 6, and 7. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee. That's in the inner man. In the inward man, in the inner man. The only strength we have in God is the strength we have in the inner man. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca. Now that is not a geographical location. That's a stage in life we go through, of weeping and tears and problems and heartache. We're going through a valley. Yours may be different from mine, but we're going through this valley of tears and weeping. Testing. Who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well, the rain also filleth the pools. In other words, it's supposed to be a destroying place, a place where there's nothing left of us. But we go through this valley of tears, this valley of Baca, and it becomes, in the words of Scripture, it becomes a pool that's full, a rain and a filled pool. The Word of God says in verse 7, they go from strength to strength. Now you and I might say we go from weakness to strength. But that's not what God says. And the Lord wants us to be transformed, not just to use the word transformed. He wants us to be transformed to the place that we have the mind of Christ. And we think about the Christian life the way the Lord wants us to think about it. And so he says we go from strength to strength. Somebody said, I'm getting weary. Maybe weary in the flesh, weary in the body. Maybe you're dealing with something that's very difficult, passing through some great physical trial or some emotional situation. Maybe something tragic has taken place. But God says there's an inner secret. There's an inner man. There's an inward man. There's an inward man that can stay strong. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. Now turn back with me, please, to the book of Ephesians. And I want you to write these things down. Let's do it quickly. In this inner man, we are encouraged. In this inner man, we're encouraged. Listen to the verses, chapter 3 of Ephesians, beginning with verse 13. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. In chapter 3, verse 1, he said, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner. In chapter 4, verse 1, he says, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. It's Paul, the prisoner. Paul is speaking as a prisoner. He's bound, he's imprisoned, he's incarcerated. The things he might imagine he could get out and do, he cannot do. So is this God's will? Oh, yes. When he wrote the church in Philippi, he said, don't be ignorant of this. What I'm going through is an advantage. What I'm going through is for the furtherance of the gospel. This is the way God works. God doesn't work the way men work, and God doesn't think the way men think. And so he says, wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations, for you which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. If you're ever going to be encouraged as a Christian, you will be encouraged in the inner man. You remember David and David's mighty men and the people he gathered as an army? I remember how David was associated for a period of time, quite a long period of time, with the Philistines and was ready to do battle against Israel. And in the midst of all of this, David had an encampment at a place called Ziklag. And when David returned to Ziklag, the enemy had come in and taken all their families, wives, children, everything. And David's men who loved him, who followed him, who fought with him and for him, started whispering among themselves. And the Bible says they spoke of putting David to death. When people are hurting, they have to blame somebody. And so they want to blame David. Now, David was not yet king of Israel, so he had a great lesson to learn. He could not lead until he learned this lesson. And the Bible says, at that lowest point, David encouraged himself in the Lord. Now, we get the idea, perhaps we get the idea, that David says, I'm still strong, I've got might, I can still fight, I can use a sword, I can use a spear. I'm tough enough to handle this. That's not it at all. Not at all. David was encouraged in the inner man. He communicated with God, and God communicated with him that the Lord was with him, that he would recover all, that the Lord would work through this and use it in a mighty way. You and I have to recognize what we see is not who we are. What we see in others is not who they are. Someday we lay down this robe of flesh and soar beyond the stars. Some kind person will do something with our bodies to take them to burial. But the real person, the person we are, is gone. And the Lord says, you have an inner man. That's who you are. And we need to gain encouragement in that inner man. Some of the lowest times in my life, I have been physically exhausted, spent. I have been mentally depleted. I remember hearing the story of Hudson Taylor, the missionary to China, great man, always advancing with God, he said. And he wrote some friends after a period of time when they didn't hear from him. And he said, I've been too weak to walk, too weak to work, even too weak to pray. I've just collapsed in the arms of Jesus until he strengthened me to carry on. You see, you and I must learn that we are encouraged in the inner man. Nurture the inner man. Feed the inner man. That's who we are. Let me give you a second thing, if you'll write it down quickly. Not only are we encouraged there, we're energized in the inner man. Look what the Bible says. As we read on, Paul says here in chapter 3 of Ephesians, begin with verse 16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened, with might by his spirit in the inner man. Sometimes I have a call come out to me. It's not necessarily like a voice of someone, but it's something that I'm challenged to do or something I face that I know must be done. It is from these necessities of life. I am a man. I am a child of God. I am a husband. I am a father. I am a grandfather. I'm a pastor of a church. And I love the people that the Lord has given me. And the necessity of all of this places a demand upon me for strength I do not have. And I could just say, hey, I'm going to lose it. I'm going to let emotions take me through the ride, and I'm going to be swept away emotionally, and I'm going to just think like the world thinks, and this is too much for me. If you ask the average person who quits anything, they're going to tell you they were discouraged and weak when they did it. Because discouraged, weak people always overstate their problems. So where are we going to find strength? Where are we going to find strength? Did you know in one sense some of the strongest people in the world are the weakest people in the world? Because the Bible teaches that in His strength is made perfect in our weakness. At the end of ourselves, He's not changed. He is not changed. It's the inner man where we're strengthened. Energized inner man. Let me give you a third thing. I'd like for you to write it down. And that is, it's in the inner man that we're enlarged. This has to do with vision. In the inner man. You might find someone who is a person that is not too impressive. They may not be the best looking people physically. Like Paul. Speech contemptible, body appearance weak. Charles Spurgeon said once to some people, he said, all of my looks are gone. Gone, all gone. He had fallen not long before that and broke out all of his teeth in the front of his mouth. He said to his wife, Susie, he said, there's nothing here to look at anymore. You could find a man or a woman who may not be appealing to the eye. But if they've nurtured their soul, if they cared for the inner man, they can be the strongest people, the most influential people on earth. I'm going to say something that's going to shock some of you. But much of what we're impressed with is sensual. Much of what we are motivated with is sensual and physical. So much of it. And we spend a lot of time trying to be more that way while neglecting the inner man. I'm not saying I'm happy the world's made up of ugly people. I think anybody can be beautiful Anybody can be handsome, and everybody can take a little better care of themselves and the outward appearance. But that's what the world majors on. That's where they put all of the emphasis. Can you imagine what that does to people who have the idea of themselves that there's nothing physically attractive? And so sometimes people are reduced to doing anything imaginable with the flesh to attract someone, only to find out it's all hollow and empty. There's no substance in that kind of relationship. It's the inner man. When Moses penned those words at the end of the 90th Psalm, "Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us," he wasn't talking about the way we looked on the outside. He was talking about who we are on the inside. Now just listen to these words. The Bible says in verse 17 of chapter 3 in Ephesians, "That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able," get this now, we're talking about enlarged vision, "may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ." Only the enlarged inner man, spiritual man, God's enlarged his or her heart, only that person can come close to grasping something of the reality of the love of Christ. And the words he uses here, notice, to comprehend length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. What an expression. To be filled with all the fullness of God. Where does that happen? It doesn't happen in this shallow, narrow-minded, bigoted, prejudiced opinion that the only worthy people are the people who have some sensual appeal. Take good care of yourself, watch your health, do the best you can do, but don't put the emphasis on what you can see. Put the great emphasis on what you cannot see. And let's be strong in the inner man. And the Word of God says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think." You ever thought of anything big? The Bible says God can do more than we ever thought or ask for. "Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus through all ages without end." There's no glory in churches when it's all about the man or the woman or the people and their ability. When I'm thinking like I'm thinking right now about the Word of God, I think how ashamed I am that God could be so glorified through my life if I gave the attention I ought to give to the inner man. Because when the Lord blesses, he'd get glory. And I wouldn't try to steal it from him. Inner man. Inner man.